Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Anshuman Rudra, who's a product manager for TapClix, which I have a lot of history with myself. So, Anshu, why don't you go ahead and give us an introduction to yourself, introduction to TapClix, and then we'll be talking about the specific product that you've been working on inside of TapClix from the SaaS development side.
Sure. Thanks, Jeremy. Great to meet you. So I have been working at TapClix for 9 years in various roles, as you know, Jeremy, in the marketing side, in the product side, in a lot of other roles, like customer-facing roles as well, but primarily on product, and have been involved with a lot of products that we have built over the years, right? So we have a reporting tool, analytics, operations platform, like orders management and workflow, and typically, what TapClix does is it's a marketing operations platform for marketeers and focused on agencies and media companies. Like, we have some of the largest agencies and media companies as our clients. In terms of my background, before joining TapClix, I actually was an engineer, mostly a data engineer and a back-end engineer. Mm-hmm. And I worked at Adobe and Yahoo and a few startups. And that's where my interest in data has always been there, right? I was a computer science graduate a long time back. And what I'm excited about right now is one of the products that we have with TapClix that we are launching. We launched it already as a soft launch a year ago. It's building ETL, ELT pipelines through TapClix. So I would love to talk more about it, but it's more about a data pipe.
Yeah, let's get into that. So TapClix, being like other people may be familiar with Tableau, that type of large ecosystem, lots of data coming in, lots of connections, and aiming at providing an enterprise level connection to all of these outputs and bringing it in and letting your users do the needful, as they say, and figure out what is the outcome that they need from all these various sources. So I'm kind of familiar, but let's break down that ETL acronym and kind of explore what your product that you're developing is aiming to do in that space.
Sure. Awesome. So this is something, again, you know, like TapClix, the base of the TapClix platform is some of awesome connectors or integrations that we have built across 400 or I think it's now 1,000 connectors, right? So the one world that we are living in, Jeremy, is omnichannel, right? Like, everybody is advertising and playing in different channels. There are new platforms coming up every day, and people are trying to sort of connect with those, right? And so what TapClix does is it brings all that data into one single place. And in data engineering terms, that's called the extraction, right? So the E of the ETL is like putting all that data across all the platforms and then have some light modeling or light normalization across those categories, right? So spend in Google Ads, spend in Facebook Ads, at the end of the day, they are cost, and you want to put them together. So what TapClix does and has always done is have a really robust E and a really robust T, right? So we do allow people to sort of connect those data together, and that's the T part of it.
Transformation.
Transformation. So you can add a new metric, let's say an ROI or an ROAS, right? So people would love to know, what am I doing? Let's say sessions per or conversions per cost, right? So you can always do that transformation. What we have done recently, like maybe like the last 2 years, we have been working on pushing that data out to third-party destinations. So it's really about other people sort of downstream utilizing this data that we always had within the TapClix ecosystem to go to, let's say, a cloud data warehouse or a database. And then you can build all sorts of interesting models on top of it. So just to, again, step back, ETL, you can also call it as an ELT. So you extract the data, right? You connect the data to, let's say, Salesforce, Facebook Ads, Marchex. You bring them in, you do some light transformation or heavy transformation, and then you load it up into a cloud data warehouse, like, say, a Snowflake or a MySQL. So that's mostly the product.
That makes sense. And you're talking about like large organizations, you know, and multi-channel, pulling in from not just Google Analytics, but you know, from mail programs, email programs, from social, from all of these various disparate sources. We keep adding more and more different tools that do more and more different stuff with more and more different data sets. So what's on the product management horizon for this tool? What was your minimum viable product that you wanted to build out? And what are the extra, you know, features that you're looking to build in over the next year?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the product market fit that we found, right? So I love this book, Pattern Breakers, right? It's a recent book around startups. And one thing that they say is, like, look for an inflection point. And the inflection point for us, Jeremy, has been the adoption of cloud data warehouses, right? I saw it in front of my eyes, right? Like 5 years ago, it was really like big organizations that was only going for like AWS and BigQuery, right? Now, it's actually like even like the low tech companies or like slightly smaller companies, they are moving into like, let's have an AWS S3, right? So we are getting into that inflection point. A lot of customers, our existing customers, are using these, right? So that's the basic sort of premise. And what we saw is like even with the existing customer base, Jeremy, they said like, hey, can you push this data to AWS or GCP or Snowflake? So that's like it actually came from customers, right? Like I want to push the data out, and we have like enough people who wanted this. So let me see if the video is turned off, I guess. Sorry about that. So yeah, so this is basically that was the product market fit we found is existing customers, agencies, media companies, and even like larger brands for sure, but even like agencies and media companies and smaller companies, they wanted to push their data into a data warehouse. So let me, sorry, once again, I'm getting this. Am I? Sorry about that. So that was the first part, and we had enough people sort of using it. And then what we're trying to do is like really understand what do these users do once the data ends up in a data warehouse? So the second problem, right? Like I call it downstream processing.
All right, let's.
So yeah, so that's how we found the product market fit, Jeremy, is all these customers, existing customers, they let's say it's an agency for a large brand, but even for the agencies themselves or brand themselves, they needed the data to be put in a cloud data warehouse, right? And the next question I asked is like, what is your use case? What are you trying to do? And in some scenarios, they wanted to build more complex data models, right? Like let's say multi-touch attribution. Often that's, let's say they want to join that data with their finance data. Want to join the data with their operations data, product data, right? So all these use cases where, hey, I am building this cool model, that's the IT team, and I want this marketing data in the same place, right? In one single place. And that's where TapClick's, this new product with the ETL or ELT shines is, hey, we are going to solve your marketing operations pieces, right? Like marketing dashboards within TapClick. But we also integrate with your cloud data warehouse, and I'm going to push the data out, and it will help you, the larger corporation, to build better models by joining it with other stuff. So that's the biggest sort of use case that I'm seeing with our current customer base, right? Like they love our dashboards, but they also want more downstream. So yeah, so that's the main part. And then I think like what I'm trying to get at though, Jeremy, like as the next iteration is sometimes customers don't need our dashboards, right? Like maybe they already have their own internal dashboards or they're using a third party BI tool. Whatever, right? And in those scenarios, they may not even need the TapClick dashboard. And so, what if we have that full path of, hey, you connect the data, you do some transformation, and you load up your database, and then you do whatever third party, right? So, that's downstream. So, a lot of my features are around that is thinking through those downstream operations that you would want to do and making that easier, making that more self-serve. So a lot of that is like making that easier to use. Yeah, so that's mostly the plan, but I can go into the details.
No, that makes sense. And in the like the product management process, like, is there a particular challenge area in the workflow process? Like, is it in that to get this to market? So thinking back, you know, getting the, was it a challenge to get the development time, to get buy-in from C-suite? What were the conversations you had to kind of walk through and nurture this product as you, you know, internally brought it to fruition, Q&A process, and getting it launched? So if you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. That's actually interesting. Let me think about it. I think, as you know, product managers, we are always working through priorities, right? Like, there are 100 different things to do. How do we prioritize this? Like, what's the revenue potential? Is there a large enough market? I think that that's the biggest problem, and that's my suggestion to any product manager, is like figuring that out. There are always cool ideas. There are always cool markets. Does it make sense for you? Does it make sense for your organization overall? And it did not make sense like 6 years ago, right? It started to make sense as more and more customers started to move to cloud data warehouses, right? So as that shift started to happen, it was easier for me to show and prove to the decision makers is, hey, market is moving. These five existing customers are asking for it. Also, like, go out and talk to other customers and prove that market. I think that's the biggest piece. Is there a large enough market? Is it right for us? And does it sort of align with the overall company vision? Like, those are the three main things. And as long as you can prove those three things, right? Is there a large enough market? Yes. Like, move to data warehouses? Yes. Is it right for us? We already had some awesome work done with our E and the T, right? We already had 75% of the product or 80% of the product. So we did the hard part. So it was right for us. And the third part was, like, how many people are actually asking for it, like, even like within existing customers. That sort of helps to define the initial product market fit. So those are the three main things. So.
No, that definitely makes sense. And, you know, there are SaaSes at different levels of development. You know, obviously, like, you know, I just had another interview with the guy from Vooz, and he's bootstrapping. So him and three guys. So the process of, like, hey, let's get this minimum viable and kick it out the door, you know, that's a very different ecosystem than, you know, a TapClix, which you guys have been funded. You guys have a stable, established platform, been in the marketplace for like 10 plus years, and have your own significant internal, you know, ecosystem of clients who want things and have budget to hit those things. So it is an interesting game as a product manager to look within your context, because your market potentially is as much about upsell as it is about new markets share altogether externally. What were those conversations like potentially, like, with either customer support or sales? I know that you mentioned, hey, you know, somebody was asking about that. Was that a conversation in a meeting, or was that an internal process where somebody was processing client feedback, or a salesperson who got you in the hallway or sent you a Slack message? Like, how did that fall out?
So actually, I think there were two signals that really stuck with me, right? So one was actually sales, right? So sales always is like at the forefront, right? And that's my feedback, is always, as a product manager, stay in touch with clients, stay in touch with the sales team. And this request kept coming up. This is like 6 years ago, Jeremy, like 6 years ago. And there were like some customers who started to ask for it, right? Like, hey, this so-and-so is doing it, can you do it, right? And it started to come up, and I was a solutions kind of a person, right? I had the background, and my thoughts were like, you know what? Let's do this. Like, this is a workaround. Let's try it. Let's export as an Excel or let's make an API call and get the data out, right? And that was my mind thinking of what was out there, what I knew. So that was the first signal that I got. And then I will say the other piece was Fivetran, if you know, became big in there, right? Like, I think they started like 2019, maybe before that. It's a unicorn company now. And so that helps as well. Like, once the market gets defined by someone else, it's like easier conversation. It's easy for you to understand. It's easier for you to explain. So those are the two big signals, right? Like, when Fivetran started to come up, it's not a direct competitor because it does all sorts of data. It's a data movement company. That's the new categorization. And what it does is it, again, has API connections with everything, and then it pulls the data out and pushes it to various data warehouses. So those are the two big signals, right? Like, it came from the market, from the sales team, and it came from a new player coming in and actually starting to define the market. So, yeah.
That makes sense. Fascinating too. I think that's fantastic advice for any product manager and for any SaaS who has a product manager position. Stay in touch with sales. They're having the conversations, they're hitting the friction and hearing first about, oh, did you hear so-and-so can do this such and such and why? And is that on the product roadmap? Well, you should have a feedback loop system. Always be talking to sales and hearing what it is that they're, you know, hearing as far as feedback and potential. Are there any third-party tools that you, like Google? I'm sure you just like Googled competitors, but were there any like data channels that you tapped into to kind of look at, you know, terms, terminology, because there's that other piece of it too. If now you are developing this new feature, this aspect, and yeah, there's the internal upsell. So you got to be able to tell the salespeople, this is how you describe it. And that's been a constant evolution in our field of, okay, this tool now does this. How do people describe it? Oh, it's not so much like a database. It's more like a data lake. You know, like somebody made that up. You know, or a public speaker said that, and data lake. And then everybody, you know, it's a cloud. It's this kind of puffy. Okay, it's a data cloud. You know, like so. What was your process in grabbing, you know, those as you developed the front end of probably a web page, any marketing or messaging, and passing that on to the marketing team?
So I will not lie to you, Jeremy, like that is the challenge. That is the interesting thing about marketing technology. Like these, and maybe like overall technology, like these terms are just so evolving all the time. It's hard to like nail it down because at the end of the day, the vocabulary matters, right? Is if you talk ETL, to somebody, it may not register at all, right? It may be data pipes, it could be data movement, it could be data platform. That's one word that we started with, by the way, like 6 years ago. So it did not stick at all. Like marketing data platform is how we were trying to sort of think about it in our first avatar, and it did not stick. And again, I think it is helpful to keep your eyes on the ground, sort of like what terms are coming up, what is it that people are liking in the market. And Fivetran, I will say, defined the word ELT, right? So it was more about I extract the data and I load them up in a destination, which is this Snowflake. And then you do whatever transformation you want to do downstream, right? You don't do the transformation in the Fivetran platform or in the TapPlex platform. Mm. You do the transformation in your database, right? So that's where, you know, like TapClicks shines as well is, hey, we are not going to compete with the database with all kinds of transformations. That's not going to be ever our strength, right? Let's say you want to do Dedupe, you want to do like complicated machine learning models, TapClicks data set, you cannot do that right away, right? You have to load it up in some other third-party destination, and that's where the power is. So I think just having those conversations with the right people is important, and those naming kind of evolves as you're sort of talking to them. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do, right? Like in terms of training the sales team and like going into the client calls is figuring out who you're talking to, making sure they understand those names, they understand those vocabulary, and then sort of positioning yourself for them. So that's important. It's hard because it's a little bit different for everyone. So it's a little difficult in terms of like a consistent name.
I would imagine with a lot of the once it gets to the data warehouse, you know, it really is now probably being fed to some sort of AI agent, you know, Claude or GPT or, you know, and I think that's because of for fidelity purposes, right? Like, you don't want to have an LLM prone to hallucination being involved in the raw pulling down or in the aggregation or tapping into that multi-channel ecosystem of, like, you don't want that potential for infidelity to the cause. Like, you want to have your pool and be able to tap into it and then be able to control the variables of output of how, you know, how close to the raw data that it's pulling from. But I would imagine there's a lot of use cases on AI that are sitting at the bottom of your ETL pipeline.
I'm pretty sure. And that's just going to grow, Jeremy. That's just going to grow. I love these use cases, by the way, right? Like, you can do so much, and we can talk a little bit about it, is what are people doing once the data is pushed out? They can, as you said, AI is like a great use case of like figuring something out. But then also use cases like you push it out, again, push it back to TapClicks even, right? Or to a BI tool, is you do some kind of aggregation that is not possible within TapClicks, right? Because you want to join with like these 7 data sources. And let's say the finance team says, hey, I only want my data in my data warehouse. I don't want it to be pulled directly in some other places. So you do that kind of sort of aggregation, transformation in the database, and then you pull it back through other TapClicks features into a dashboard, right? So you do that as well. Or let's say it's Google Data Studio, Looker Studio, whatever, right? So Tableau. So that's the other, that's one of the most common use cases, by the way, Jeremy, that I've seen. Is
that makes sense, because there are, you know, for financial, for regulatory, for data security purposes, there are a lot of shops where, you know, they want to strictly control what goes out and what comes in. So having it's really just kind of creating an internal loop in the system where you're like looping out, tapping into that extra stuff and then bringing it back in, you know, kind of just like adding another data layer to the existing data layer. But just thinking about that, yeah, you could do that several times with several different departments and tools until, because at the end of the day, you know, you're either wanting a dashboard to make better marketing decisions, or you're making a dashboard so that you can communicate those decisions or statuses to clients and describing these things. So it's really just about at the end of the process, you know, you need to be able to get all of the different data sources into one spot. So this is just another loop into that, that I can see how that it would be useful, you know, with those closed systems where, you know, they're guarding the keys. You know, we have to have it, these layers of security, only these people get in. We can only give you these parameters. But gosh, we also would love to have these pieces of marketing data or this from this source or that source so that we can make our own decisions and then give you that back. Interesting. To think of, I like what you said, that it's data movement as a term in terminology. Oh, that's so fun. So what, give me, as we kind of wrap up the conversation, like, what's on the horizon? What's the next product in development or the next feature in this existing product that you're looking to push to the next stage?
But I will say, for me, it's really about 3-4 things, right? Adding more and more destinations is one of the key things, right? We do support all the 4 big cloud players, which is of course everybody wants that. So it's GCP, Google, Azure, Microsoft, AWS, which is Amazon, and then Snowflake. Those are the four big players, but there are more as well. Like Databricks is coming up, and then there are not just cloud destinations. Sometimes people want that final destination, right? Like the data movement.
Cool.
So I see a lot of value in solving this problem, right? Like moving the data, thinking through these data layers, and it's not just super large brands with a lot of regulations or lots of platforms. Like even smaller ones, like even like a 10-person company needs this, right? And you know, like Tapflix's strength is, hey, you don't have to worry about the extraction layer at all, right? Like we maintain the API calls, which is like the hardest thing for even like a small company, right? Like I don't want to make a Facebook ads API call. So once we know that, how we can grow is I forgot to mention one piece. A lot of this pricing in this space is around consumption, right? Like how many rows I'm pushing, pricing is around that, right? And so thinking through those pricing tiers, a lot of that work we are doing to become that one place, single place to do all of this, right? Even like one person can manage it easily, like self-serve. And so a lot of my work is going after that market, like slightly smaller brands, just one developer or one marketing guy, and they need to sort of maintain it themselves. So that's one sort of direction in my roadmap. The other direction, as I was saying, is we do have support for all the major cloud warehouses, right? So we do have Google for GCP, Amazon for AWS, Microsoft for Azure, and Snowflake, right? But there are more coming up, right? So there is Databricks, sometimes people ask for like direct connection with the BI tools. That's another thing that we can do. So that's something that we are exploring, right? So directly connecting to a Tableau and a Power BI, and that's also a use case that comes up. So that may be a path that we take. But yeah, mostly those two, right? Like making it easy, making it super self-serve for a smaller company, and then also exploring new destination types. Those are the two big things that I'm looking for. And then, I will say like templates, integrating it with AI is something that I am exploring, right? So actually giving suggestions of, hey, this is the data set that you should push. Let's say if I have already pushed Facebook ads data into Snowflake, what if I get recommendations is that you already have Google ads, why don't you push Google ads as well in the same structure, right? So giving suggestions of, what are the workflows that work? What are the workflows that you should sort of start setting up is another thing that I'm looking for. So.
Awesome. If people want to find TapClix, how can they find you? Are you guys active on any socials? If they have questions, where should they send any questions they might have about your products?
Yeah, sure. So we are active on LinkedIn and I know Facebook, and then we have been exploring Reddit as well as a new channel. So would love for people to come in and say hi, and like happy to answer any questions or if you want feedback. But yeah, LinkedIn is the big one for us because again, we're typically focused on enterprises. So yeah.
Makes sense. All right. Thanks so much for your time, Anshuman. Fascinating to get into the product management side on like a more developed SaaS and see that ecosystem from start to end. Thanks for your time.